Good morning, good afternoon, wherever you might be on this wonderful planet, welcome to the creative field. My name is Jeannie Martin, and I'm your host here on BBSRadio.com every second Sunday, rain or shine, at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, so I certainly hope that you can keep joining us as you've been doing. The creative field is a program that offers creative solutions to a sustainable life on planet Earth, and particularly to focus on what is possible, to learn from people who work hard to make things actually happen, to sustain and maintain a healthy natural environment that's going to be around to support the life of our children and our children's children, and to care for the mind, the body, and the spirit aspects of all life on planet Earth. We are here on BBS because of our supporters, the Emissaries of Divine Light, British Columbia, and Edenvale Retreat Center in Abbotsford, BC. For those of you that aren't familiar with Edenvale, it is a beautiful Oasis Conference and Retreat Center in Abbotsford, where I am talking to you from right here tonight. So please check out Edenvale on www.edenvaleretreat.ca. And check out the events that are always happening here year-round. So before I introduce our special guest tonight, I would like to invite you to call in with questions or comments for our guest by dialing toll-free 888-627-6008. Your input is greatly appreciated, and your thoughts are very valuable. So please join us if you can. So tonight's guest, I am very excited about introducing this guest because he's a dear friend and we think about him all the time. You know, he's a very busy guy. Jim Law is a movie producer of documentary films that merge science and spirituality. He is the co-founder of Voice Entertainment, and he has produced such titles as Quantum Communication, The Voice, and his most recent release called Hope for Humanity. My husband and I met Jim and became friends several years ago when he was visiting British Columbia. We sure hope he can make it up again. And although his travels keep him more than busy, we keep him on the radar, so to speak. And we're always sending him energy and love, no matter where he is. So I am so pleased and honored to have him with us tonight. And without further ado, hi, Jim. How are you?
Jeannie, I'm doing great. It's so good to talk to you again. It's been way too long.
Yes, it has. Well, I know we could talk for hours on all of the experiences that you've had in the movie making and your travels around the world. So I'll just start and say, tell us about Voice Entertainment and what led you into movie production. Tell us about that.
Well, I never dreamed I would be doing this for a living 5 years ago. Sometime in late 2007, I had actually been practicing landscape architecture for 19 years of my life, and when the economy started to take a downturn and things changed and the business stopped coming in the door, after going from managing 40 or 50 projects at a time and managing 30 people, a staff of 30 people in my landscape architecture firm. We were design build firm. It was very, very busy. It went to practically nothing almost within a month, actually, and then we finally just had to shut it down. But before I closed that company, a friend of mine who I had met that was living in Hollywood, California, David Sarita, had emailed me and asked me if I knew of anybody who'd be interested in investing in a film, and that he wanted to just partner up with somebody and direct and produce a film called The Voice about human consciousness. And I kind of turned in my chair at the office for a moment and thought about it for just a second. I never dreamed I would say yes, but I turned back around, got back to the computer, and I emailed him back and said, I would. Yeah, just something inside of me said, do this. And I'm glad I did because it was a perfect timing, really, because as one business was closing down, my new chapter was opening up. And we co-created a company called Voice Entertainment, based in Sedona, Arizona. David eventually, after a course of many weeks, eventually moved to Sedona from Hollywood and lived a couple miles down the street from me, so it was really convenient. And there you go. So basically, we produced the first film called The Voice, and it released late 2007. And then subsequently after that, we started producing more films that merged science with spirituality. In a nutshell, that's how I got my start in the business. I never really had any experience in the movie business or with camera work or anything until relatively recently in my life, really, until about maybe 3.5 years ago.
What a powerful turn in life, eh? And what an amazing adventure you've had with this ever since. I've seen all of those wonderful movies, and I felt so inspired by the information that you've brought forward in them. And maybe you can just tell us a little bit about those movies, and particularly your new release, Hope for Humanity.
Mm-hmm. Well, the first film I created was with David. It was called The Voice, and it explores human consciousness. It's a 3-hour, 2-part film. And that film was just kind of the beginning. And then the second one we created was called Quantum Communication. And then it was just taking it one step deeper down that rabbit hole with more details, and people wanted more. We learned very quickly that people were really hungry for this material. And, we wanted to get more out there to the world. So we were actually creating two films at once. David was working on Quantum Communication, and I was working on Hope for Humanity, and then we're both just kind of teaming up back and forth. I spent a year over in Kauai and doing some filming. And then, of course, when I was up there visiting you, I was actually in Vancouver in the White Rock area, went out to Vancouver Island and did some filming out there for Hope for Humanity. So Hope for Humanity had been in the works for about, I'd say, about a year and a half, almost 2 years. Normally our films in production start to finish take within 8 months. This one took a little bit longer, and it all became apparent in the very end as to why that took so long. And I came to understand very clearly the divine timing and the fact that there is something called just sometimes there's just timing. You know, there's just some things that needed to unfold for something else that was really, really important that needed to be in this film. And I just had to be patient, sit back, and just wait until that unfolded so I could, so it would show itself so I could get it in the film. And it turns out that in the very beginning of the film, I wanted to have an infant, traveling through space from the stars and then splashing down onto Earth and coming through the clouds, splashing down onto Earth. And the next thing you see in the scene is a baby being born. But we were having difficulty finding anybody that wanted to be on camera while they're birthing. So it turns out David ended up getting married, and they got pregnant, and they ended up having a baby. So their baby is in the first 15 minutes of the film. They're birthing, I should say. So it worked out perfectly, and I came to understand as to why the movie took that long, because that was a very important piece that needed to happen in the beginning of the film, and it actually was the very last thing we ended up filming. So that was that. It took about 2 years. And Hope for Humanity, it's about consciousness, but it's also primarily informative in the area of speaking of these gifted children that are coming true at a rapid rate. And some people would call them indigos or star children, rainbow children, gifted children. Actually, the original title of the film was going to be called Gifted Children of the World. But as I went around, traveled around the country filming with kids, it turns out that, well, we all have gifts. And the kids really didn't want to be noted as being any different. They just want to be kids. They're just extremely off-the-charts talented kids. They're kids that have come through with a mission, really, literally, and at the age of 4 or 5 years old, exhibit a lot of these talents that might be considered as being very unusual to many of us because, for instance, in the case of Akiana Kramerich, Akiana started painting when she was about 5 years old, At 4 years old, she was sketching. 5 years old, she was doing rough sketches of faces. And then when she got to six, then she started adding colors. And her paintings are just larger than life, incredible, deep spiritual paintings. And she's never took a lesson in her life. So I became really curious as to how in the world does that happen? I mean, how does a child that's never had a mentor, never had any guidance from a parent and didn't watch TV and doesn't get on the computer, doesn't have any connection with electronics, no texting and Skyping and, outside connections like that. Now she does, and now that she's 16, but at that age she wasn't. So where did she get her information? How did she get her wisdom, her knowledge, her talent to be able to even know how to mix a palette of colors and make a flesh tone? And I was very curious to find out just what was going on there. So took a film crew. We flew up to Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, and spent 3 days up there filming Akiana. It turns out she has four brothers and her mom and dad. They're all talented. The whole family is just, they're beautiful people, and they're extremely talented. Now, one's into cooking, and the other brother is also an artist. He's a painter. And so they all each exhibit a talent. And I wanted to study that family, just see what was going on in their family unit. How could we all tap into our gifts in a fast way instead of waiting until we're 30 or 40 or 50 years old and then discovering, hey, I always wanted to be an opera singer, or I always wanted to play guitar. The bucket list of things that we say, I wish I would have done that, or shoulda, coulda. And, there's ways we can do that and tap in to our resources and our talents and our remembrance of who we really are. So, I'll just kind of open up. If you have any other questions at this point, Beanie, go ahead.
We're just working a little bit on the connection, Jim, but we're hearing everything you said.
Okay.
Yeah, I've seen her paintings. It's unbelievable.
Take 7, reconnect with them. So keep going.
Her paintings are just unbelievable. And, it's amazing. It's like you're saying, divine timing. And divine timing is absolutely impeccable. Things happen at the right time. And, unfortunately, sometimes we don't know that until in hindsight we look back and say, my goodness, if that hadn't happened there, and there, I couldn't be here in this moment, this perfect moment. And you, Jim, you're an example of that, spinning around in your chair and saying, I will do it, changed everything in your life. The thing that's concerning me, that I'm very aware of, because I'm a grandmother now of 7 grandchildren, and I've watched them since the day they were born, and now they're up in their high teens, and in today's world where we're so busy, we don't have the time to perhaps spend time with the kids and see those incredible gifts that they're bringing into the world. And the world's so busy, perhaps sometimes we may think that these kids have got some kind of problem, so we might give them a pill here and there to keep them not so exuberant, so to speak. And I think that, they are our future. And they are a beautiful future. I remember when children were born many, many years ago, like even when we were born, it took us days to even open our eyes. And I watched every one of my grandchildren be born. And when they're born, they look right at you. They know that they are here and present. They know what their mission is, and they're not going to be put into a box. We're just taking a few moments now while we get a different connection with him so that we can hear him. And in the meantime, I'll... Hi, are you with us now, Jim?
Yeah, can you hear me all right, Janie?
Yes, I can. Thanks.
Okay. So must be the X-blast solar flares or something. There's been a lot of hiccups going on in electronics. My Wi-Fi has booted me off several times yesterday and today, and other people have been having troubles with their cell phones. It could be solar flares or something like that going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I was just saying while we were reconnecting that the children that are coming in today into this world, like my 7 grandchildren that I watched be born, they come fully present. They look at you in the first minute of their life, directly into your eyes. And we need to stop for a moment from our busy, busy lives and have a look at these children, because they're bringing something amazing into this world. They are the future, and they are a positive future.
They really are, you know, and you'd mentioned it, and you hit the nail right on the head there. You know, there's been times when I've been walking through the health food store in Sedona, and you all see somebody walking by, and their child, they're carrying their child in one of those slings, you know, they carry around their, they wear around their neck and over their shoulders, and a baby will turn and look right at you with these big almond eyes, big bright eyes, and they just are laughing. You know, they're telepathing with you, and they're trying to tell you something like, aha, I got your number, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's hilarious.
I do have a special question for you from Clive. He would like to know, what is the difference between communication and quantum communication?
Well, yeah, that's a real good question. Hey there, Clive. Communication, you know, that's just a broad term, you know, referring to just a way that two beings, or in our case of human beings, we'll just say, would communicate. It could be nonverbal communication, it could be telepathic, or it could be just, you know, physical body language type communication. There's a lot of different ways to one human can communicate with another. And the quantum communication is a much different view of communication. The quantum communication suggests that there's a quantum entanglement of all of consciousness. In other words, we are all one. We are all connected to a direct beeline to source information. And in fact, that these kids who are what we're calling these the gifted kids, or the indigos in Hope for Humanity movie that I've created here, these kids, from what I'm witnessing, have a direct line. They basically have a direct line to source, and I'm, you know, the communication that they're getting, I could say, would be a good example of what quantum communication is all about. That's why we created Quantum Communication, the movie, at the same time as this other movie, this other film, Hope for Humanity. Both documentary films were created in the same year, because really they're interconnected too. There's a tie between the two of them. And with the quantum communication that these kids exhibit, what we're seeing is that the children, well, some people say, well, okay, maybe you were Mona Lisa in another life, or maybe you were Bach or Beethoven because you're a great piano player and you're only 4 years old and nobody's ever given you a lesson in your life. Maybe that's the case. Maybe for those who believe or understand reincarnation, it could have something to do with past life, that they're bringing forth a remembrance of that. Maybe that's, that could be true. But how about this? If you look at it like this, that there's basically everything is connected on some level. Consciousness is all from one source. And with that, if you're able to tap into an unlimited resource of information, whatever it is you desire, and you use your intention to bring forth, to manifest that which your intention has been set for, that you can be that painter or that singer or that pianist and anything that you want, just by tapping into that source of information on how to become that in reality, in our three-dimensional reality. That's kind of what, in a nutshell, what quantum communication would be, is the quantum effect of tapping into source for information. Some people call it, you know, source, or you can call it God, whatever works for you. Does that help any?
Yeah, it sure does. Thank you. I hear you with that. You know, I know there's powerful energies and forces moving in the world right now. And we'll call it the maturing of consciousness is starting to spread throughout the planet. And this maturing consciousness is showing itself through the actions of millions of people. Well, we don't hear of these things on the big box channels, but the effect of this force is changing the world day by day in a massively positive way. And I am really excited about what's possible for our future. This is one of the ways that we're bringing this information to people. You're not going to see it on the front newspaper, and you're not going to see it on CNN. What do you think about that, Jim?
Oh, absolutely, Beanie. You know, if you can only imagine what's going to happen, it's already happening, really. But imagine, you know, when some of these kids grow up and they get to be in their teens, their 20s and 30s, and they become the doctors and they become the leaders of our country, and the new leaders, you know, those who are taking into consideration this planet Earth and the ecology and sustainable living, permaculture, all these ideas that are really they're not new ideas, but they've been around for eons, but these kids are coming forth with a better way. The new paradigm, the new children are bringing forth the information for this new paradigm of a way of being. So you can imagine the quantum leap that's going to occur. It already is occurring, but it's going to occur even more and more as we move forward in our timeline here as these kids come to their maturity. You know, so that's a fascinating
part. It's time for us as their parents or grandparents or aunts or uncles, whatever we are, to step up to the plate with this. You know, I learned something really interesting. We went on a little cruise to Alaska about a month ago, and we went up into one of those fjords where they've got tons and tons of ice. So this great big massive ship is going into this fjord until it couldn't go any further. And it became apparent that we couldn't go any further. We'd have to turn around and go back. Well, the experience of being on that ship as that captain turned that massive force around on a dime to head in the other direction, to me it was like a major metaphor. We've got to take this massive ship and turn it around. Yep. And we're turning it around. No matter what people believe, that there's no hope or this world is so boggled up with all the wars and the strife and the finances and all of these things that are going on, all we have to do is turn it around. We know it doesn't work.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and what I found is so important in these... you know, the children that we're talking about here in the film Hope for Humanity, I came to witness at least in two of the interviewees that were in the film, is one extreme for the other. And in one, you have one child whose parents really didn't know what to do when their little boy was coming into the living room and saying, "Mommy, I'm seeing a little boy in my room, and he's a ghost, and he's telling me how to heal with my hands." Well, you know, that may work with some people, but some parents don't know how to handle this. You know, when it's certain things like that. Now, if the child's painting, they would just say, "Wow, that's amazing. Let's go buy some more paint." But if a child is exhibiting signs of seeing unseen to the normal, you know, to most humans or to the normal human eye, that this child's able to see into other realms, a lot of parents would get a little afraid of that and not really knowing how to deal with that. So what we've found is that in some cases, the parents will take the path of putting their child with mainstream psychologists and psychiatrists, and unfortunately, they oftentimes, I'm not knocking all psychologists and, you know, and psychiatrists, by the way, but in this case, what happened is this child was diagnosed as being schizophrenic, and he was put on a whole barrage of meds. And of course, once you know that happens, then it dumbs the kids down. So the smart thing to do would be to, and what the mother ended up later on doing was, when the child stood up at the age of 7 and said, "Mommy, I can't take these drugs anymore. They're killing me. They hurt his body so much, and they're really messing him up." And finally, in one way or another, they discovered there was an alternative way of working through this and trying to find out what was going on with their child. And this is all in the movie, the Hope for Humanity movie. But they ended up hooking up with an intuitive counselor, and Dr. Shannon, and she ended up just asking him a lot of questions. Like, what is this that you're seeing? And, you know, how old is this boy? What's his name? What's he teaching you? You know, in other words, just honoring it instead of being, you know, criticized and put down and insulted, or just being told by doctors that it's a problem, you know, which it wasn't. It could have been a lot better had he not been put on the meds. But eventually, after, you know, some 6 months, he was taken off all the meds. And he's playing basketball, and he's just he's now 16. And, you know, Pablo is doing great, and he's actually doing hands-on Reiki healing. He was, last I heard, was doing some work on his own mother. And now the sister has come out of the closet with her healing abilities, and lo and behold, but all it takes is just the nurturing and the ushering through of these children in a way that nurtures their talents and abilities, and rather than stymieing their growth or dumbing them down with, you know, making it seem like it's a problem. So that's the one thing I've noticed. And then, so, yes, we can, like that ship turning on a dime. Well, this will be one way that can happen, is for the parents to realize that, hey, maybe your child who stares out the window all the time is just he's a creative genius. You know, he's a dreamer. Maybe he doesn't want to learn math or, you know, history, and maybe he'd prefer, he or she would prefer to be being doing something that's more creative. So it would be wise to take a look at that and ask your children what's going on. And what's going on with you? What are you seeing? What do you imagine when you're looking out that window and not studying enough to get the passing grade in school? So a lot of times the kids end up being homeschooled or tutored, you know, just because they really are so mission-oriented. A lot of them come here ready to roll, and they want to go with their talent and just exhibit that and do the best they can. If anything gets in their way, they can get very frustrated. They can end up later on getting in trouble, in one way or another, and as they get older, they can go down the wrong road. So it's just very important for the parents to be part of this, because that's a big, big deal.
Yeah. And, you've been traveling around for a while now, and as I sort of see you briefly through Facebook and different places where you can post what's going on, I know that you've been in touch very deeply with an even deeper spiritual side of life in your own travels. You've just come back from Hawaii, haven't you?
Yeah, I was over in Kauai for a year. Yeah, I spent a lot of time out there swimming with the dolphins, doing some underwater videography, exploring the lava tubes and the caves and the jungle areas there, and just kind of connecting with the spirit of the island there. And it was a beautiful experience, and it also gave me an opportunity to witness some of the kids out there too, which is really interesting, because they're brought up especially in Kauai, it's very different than some of the other islands. Each island has its own flavor, but Kauai, let's just say that some of the kids there are just so mellow, so calm, and very in tune. They're just really, really, you can just tell by the way they act. They're just very aware, I guess is the best way to put it.
And I would imagine more in touch with the land.
More so, because they're around that nature all the time, and the ocean. You know, a lot of them grow up to be surfers, and they're surfing as soon as they can stand up there, and most of them are. So they're really in tune with the laws of nature and physics of the ocean and its waves and its wind. And when you grow up around that, you become a very good survivor, because you understand the ebb and flow of tides and the Mother Ocean, how she can go from completely glassy calm to 30-foot waves in less than just a few hours. So there's a great respect for nature, from what I've noticed.
I think we need to, in the Western world here, start to realize some of the ways in which we make it difficult with our children. This is an electromagnetic pool that we sit in, and the kids are bombarded with this energetic field, whether it be from the computers or the overhead wires and all of the different ways that we're trying to harness energy and bring it into our home. It really disrupts that natural energy that's inside of us, that intuitive, what would you call it, like a tuning to a certain radio station. It changes that frequency. And the more that you're on the land and closer to the land and away from all this electromagnetic stuff, I would imagine that the clearer the message is.
Very true. That's so true. And a lot of the kids out there, at least in Kauai, they're not playing Xbox, and they're not, you know, their game is going out on the ocean and getting their exercise. And in fact, it's just having a good time, but it turns out to be exercise why they're having a good time. And so they're not subjected to the EMFs, the electromagnetic frequencies. Like, you know, houses these days are so closed up and so nice and tight and snug and, you know, efficient that way that they're housing not only indoor pollutants from formaldehydes and cushions and carpeting and anything that's foam rubber has some kind of formaldehyde. Most of them do anything that's rubber. But then it's the EMFs, you know, the electrical wiring that runs inside your walls. And then worse yet, if you have a house that's near any main feed lines that come in. In Florida, they had a really big problem with this. Kids getting having nervous disorders, the lack of sleep, lack of focus in classrooms. And they would build these schools on very cheap land that was given to them that were easements for the high-tension wires, the power easements. And over their head would be those steel, you know, very tall, I don't know what, 80-foot girders, you know, the towers that go up, and they have the high-tension wires that carry electric from one city to another. Well, mm-hmm. You put a school under that, and what they discovered is there's a high cancer rate for the teachers and breast cancer. All kinds of problems were happening from just being even within 150 feet of those wires. What does that tell you? You know, so
yeah, and if you take your car and drive and have the radio on and drive under those things, you're not going to hear that radio. It's going to go into a static chaos.
Yeah, exactly, and that's what happens. So the electromagnetic frequencies, the EMFs, are very they're bad news for people. You know, and even the X-class rays that, you know, blast here from our sun every once in a while, there's a solar burst. If one is facing the Earth, I think one's about to run this way again. But when it does, it can knock out our power grid. You know, people don't understand. They take things for granted. But, you know, if you look at that, the electromagnetic frequency from our sun, millions of miles away, knocking out our electricity. Just it makes it go out. Computers, all communication, things like that can happen. So you can only imagine what things like that will be doing to the human body. You know, if you're sitting in front of your computer for extended periods of time, and if you have bare feet on a concrete floor and your arms resting on a computer, well, by all means, put some rubber underneath your feet, wear shoes or something so you don't complete the circuit, because that current's running right through you. So you want to, you know, if you're on a laptop, you know, and you're barefoot, I discovered this because I kept getting really edgy when I was in Kauai, and I discovered I had my sandals off, and I was sitting at the kitchen table with my laptop. I could actually feel a tingling in my left arm, my wrist that was leaning on the computer, on my MacBook. You know, it was a metal top, it wasn't plastic. So I was completing the circuit. Well, that stuff really messes with your circuitry in your body. So, you know, for all people of all ages, you know, it's just good to try to keep a check on that, on the EMFs and also the cell phones and having, you know, try not to keep them up near your skull for too long and minimize texting, anything that's communication that's through microwave, like a cell phone. If you're texting, you're holding that in your hand. You really should not be holding it in your hand if you're communicating. It should be 2 feet away from your body. But how can you do that in text?
Yeah.
It's possible. So people are being hit by a barrage of things these days that we didn't have even 10 years ago. You know, my grandpa lived to 106 years old, and he was very healthy and happy up until like a month before he passed away, about 4 years ago. But, you know, he didn't have the things, you know, we did. He lived in three centuries, from 1898 all the way through the 1900s into 2005. So you can imagine what that man witnessed in 100 years of industrial revolution and technological advances. And, you know, he just lived a long time, probably, because he didn't have a cell phone and a laptop and, you know, all these things that we have now, and you know, it's harming the way people can progress, regardless of what age you are, especially the kids. So, and kind of turning full circle back to the kids, the thing I notice is a lot of these kids that I interviewed, they're not on the computer a lot, and they don't watch TV at all. Actually, none of them. They don't even have TV. The parents don't believe in it, or just don't want their kids watching it. So their focus is so great that it's on what their mission is here, to either be a painter or you know, a singer or a pianist, that they don't have time to spent on that kind of passive entertainment. They're very actively creating.
Yeah, and you know, in, again, taking responsibility for our children, you know, it's very difficult to take a kid or a teenager off of the internet, because now they've got their whole society there. And that's kind of where they find their friends and communicate with them. But, you know, there is balance. I wonder
Absolutely.
How many people
yeah.
that are out there listening right now, when's the last time they put their feet down on the ground without
exactly.
a sidewalk yeah. underneath it?
Yeah, and you know, I'm one of those people, Jeannie, where I'm on a computer a lot, but I've just come to a point where I want to reduce my amount of time on it. You know, we don't have to totally change and say, okay, no more TV, no more. But there is a way to modify that and then put your energy into something else. Get out in nature, like you said, you know, or do something that's creative with your hands. You know, we were kids. We used to go out and build tree forts, you know, or go out and play in the woods and do things. We weren't sitting at home watching the boob tube, as we used to call it, because, you know, my mom said, out the door. When the bell rings, you're back home and you're eating dinner, you know. So, you know, it was very, very healthy that I was had the ability to go out and play like that, because where we lived in Minnesota and we grew up on a lake, I could do that. Not everybody can. Some people live in a big city and you just can't have that kind of stuff. It's not safe, you know. So it's just a matter of using your common sense and just using your best judgment and discernment and due diligence and just seeing what you can do to maybe modify what it is you're currently doing, whether you're it's a child or whether it's yourself and your own habits of being on the telephone a lot or in front of a computer or TV, just to try to trim back on some of that and get out in nature, ground yourself, take your shoes off. Make sure you take your shoes off if it's a nice warm day.
Exactly, and as you know,
yeah.
the Earth itself has an energy field and it continues to feed us that pure, beautiful, universal energy. And
it does.
When we
yeah.
put sidewalks underneath us 24/7 and live in that electromagnetic field and not ever come away from it, I really believe we lose that balance point. You know, it's still in there, but we don't even know how to live in it anymore. And unless you take your kid out camping or out into nature or somewhere like that, they don't even know if they would enjoy that. You know, you've got
yeah,
to give,
exactly.
as parents, we need to give them that opportunity to make those choices.
If you think about it.
Instead of that, you know, we think we're so brilliant because of all the technology that we've invented, but we've paid a great price for that, a big price.
Yeah, it's a sweet and sour because, you know, great, you can communicate with somebody in nanoseconds around the globe on your, you know, by texting or cell phone or that's wonderful. Or Skype, you know, it's all great. Technology is awesome. I love it. I'm an advocate for technology, but I think we do have to be real careful with it in trying to limit the dosages, the amount of time that we're around that, because and if you don't, if it's your job and you have no other choice than work 8 hours a day sitting in a booth in front of a computer screen, there are devices out there that can help diffuse the radiation that comes off of your screen. You know, there's
yeah.
devices you can buy that you can put near it. Even some natural devices, you know, like the pink crystal or the rock salt, you know, you can put that there. And that also, the crystalline structure of the rock salt will, you've seen those little pink lights, you know, they make night lights out of them. It's the rock.
Right.
It's salt
yep.
rock. Yeah, they work pretty well. You know, sit one on your desk there in your workstation or something. But, you know, so I'm just saying just be more conscious about things like that. Because it's really important. Let's say that you're a woman. You're several months into term, and you're sitting there in front of your computer, and you're spending lots of time there, and you're about to give birth. And what's happening to that baby inside of you? You know, when you're doing it.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Exactly.
Too. You know, it's important just to be. In other words, just be more conscious of this kind of stuff, because it's a whole different thing that we're dealing with now than my grandpa was back in his day. It's totally different now. You know,
yeah. The your movies. Now, can people get the movies from your Voice Entertainment website?
Yes, I can. Yeah, all of our films are available at voiceentertainment.net. Just type in Voice Entertainment and you'll find it, but voiceentertainment.net. We do have an online store there, and you'll find Hope for Humanity and several other films there. The Water movie also is a Russian-produced movie, but we are the global distributor of Water, The Great Mystery, with Dr. Emoto mm-hmm. in it.
And what are your future plans for more movies or more ventures?
Wow, I am so busy now. I've got one that has been kind of in the works for the last year called Off the Grid. And it's a documentary film that'll end up probably being a how-to series, but about how to live sustainably with minimal carbon footprint on this planet. So this will be a documentary film, Off the Grid, and that's the one that's in progress, and it's coming together. I'm also working on co-producing a feature film called The Table of Ancients, a story about a friend of mine who's a Shaolin monk, and his adventures and his life and choosing life over death. It's a beautiful story. It's be based on the true story about his book. So those are two things I'm working on right now, but you know me, I've always got something in my back pocket, Jeannie.
Yeah, you sure do. You sure do. You know, I feel, as you heard, I live at Edenvale now, and I feel totally blessed. We're on a piece of property here that is still virgin property, organic property, and what a difference. You can just see it in the flowers and the trees and everything that surrounds us. You know, it's worth people taking the time to maybe bring a little bit of Mother Earth into where they live, whether it's in a plant, if you're in an apartment, or growing a little garden out the back. You know, something that's very interesting is not too far of us. They're making little chicken coops that people can put in their backyards in the city.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of things coming up like that, and it's really not too hard, really. I just, you know, you just have to be open to it, and a new way of living, and it can be a lot of fun, and for yourself or the whole family, you know, to create a chicken coop, you know, provided your zoning laws allow for it. But, you know, it's really, it's the wave of the future, I believe. It's a sustainable living, eco-village living, you know, community living. Is you're going to see more and more communities popping up, even small, on the small scale, of you know, just it being a household of friends that get along. And, you know, just because of the mortgage industry and things that have happened there, many people have either lost their homes or just can't afford it anymore because their job, they lost their job or something. So you'll be finding out that more and more people will be cohabitating, living on the same property or even under the same roof and sharing the cost of renting a house and then having a nice organic garden on the backyard, maybe with that chicken coop. So, you know, that's on a small scale, a sustainable way of living as much as possible as we can to live off the grid or just cut our overhead expenses of food and water and health care and finding new ways to live and leave a minimal footprint while we're here.
Yeah, and as you were saying earlier about how we are all one in that energetic field. And when people are thinking, oh yeah, well, me, what am I going to make a difference? Every tiny little bit makes a difference because it is one energy. So when I do something to support life in my little environment, then it supports life for you and everyone else. I know that for sure. Science even shows us and proves that to us.
It absolutely does. It just takes one person to make change, you know, and the beauty of that, you know, I was actually, I witnessed that once out in Kauai when I was there, and I noticed that we're little plastic pieces all over the beach. Believe it or not, you know, you think of Hawaii as being pristine, but, you know, you've got the floating island out there as big as Texas called Plastic Island way out in the Pacific. And stuff floats in, you know, little bits of multicolored plastic. I would find it all up and down the shoreline in this remote beach. They love to go swimming with the dolphins in Kauai on the North Shore. So what I did is I took a trash bag, and one of those big Ziploc baggies, a 30-gallon Ziploc. They make these huge Ziploc bags. And then I went and bought a laminator for $20 at the hardware store, and I typed up a sign that said, this one person picked up 10 pounds of plastic in 100 feet of beach. What can you do? and I laminated that little plastic sinus placard and stuck it inside the bag and hung it on a tree limb. And, you know, I had 10 pounds grow to about 100 pounds. Everybody started, you know, there was hardly ever, I never seen anybody on the beach, but the days that I wasn't there, evidently other people were chipping in and just piling in all kinds of plastics and things that they were finding that were garbage on the beach, and people were just chipping in. So, you know, it just really takes one person taking initiative to make a change on this planet, a very small initiative. It doesn't really have to be a big move, just a little baby step there, and it gets the ball rolling.
Absolutely, and you know, when people will spend a lot of time, perhaps, saying how bad things are, but they need to ask themselves, what am I doing? What am I doing about it? Mm-hmm. Am I picking up the plastic? What did I do today to support life?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I really think that it's time for that emotional maturity, that conscious maturity, and it just takes a decision to do that.
Absolutely. You know, it's very easy to complain, but, you know, the next step, really, rather than just complaining, would be to, well, okay, recognize that there's change that's needed somewhere, and then take the necessary steps to make the change. Don't just bring the problems to the table. Bring solutions. Be solution-oriented, which, you know, the Occupy movement, I'm seeing some of that going on, but a lot of it is, you know, I'm glad to see people are all over the U.S. and they're standing up and they're, you know, they're unhappy. There's people are just complaining, but, you know, I'd like to see more solutions there, so the change can take place. That's how the Tea Party was very successful. Successful here, you know, they had a solution plan, a game plan as to what we can do to make things better. You know, at the same time, yes, it does bring awareness. There's a lot of people that are unhappy. I'm glad people are showing. Standing up, you know, and showing up for that. But, you know, in anything in life, if we're going to make a change, we got to have a solution, you know, and to move forward with that. And
with and the take kids, those first steps. One step
exactly.
at a time.
Yep.
And be patient with that one step at a time, because we have a tendency, perhaps, to look at the great big problem and say it's overfacing. Well, it isn't. You can turn the big ship around. There's no problem there. But you got
right.
to start walking in that direction.
Right, yeah, as you metaphorically mentioned earlier, on that ship when it turned around, practically on a dime like that. Well, that's metaphor for life, you're absolutely right. You know, I do have hope for humanity, and I think that there's a lot of negative stuff that's going around out there, and it's easy for many people to fall into that downward spiral, but if you really look at it like, yes, we are all connected to the quantum consciousness of it all, there is a quantum entanglement of our consciousness that we are all from a source. We all are interconnected. And with that, if one person starts movement, then another will, and another. And before you know it, that we can make a change. And we can find new ways of commerce and banking, and we can find new ways to minimize our carbon footprint on this planet. It's already happening. A lot of it is we're only seeing the bad news in the media. But a lot of the good stuff is happening out there with nano-solar technology that's a film instead of the big, heavy, bulky panels now. You know, there's two factories producing this stuff, one in California, one in Germany, and by robotic manufacturing. You know, and there's other alternative fuel sources. There's individuals who are very wealthy and made a lot of money, and they want to do something good with it. And so they're sinking it into finding ways to, you know, for cars that will run off of pure, you know, just electric cars, purely, you know, and airplanes, too. Different ways to fuel up airplanes, you know, different fuel sources, or even the study of anti-gravity. So things are really happening. They really are. And I think we're going to see more of that, again, as I go full circle, these kids and Hope for Humanity. As these kids reach their maturity, they're going to be coming to the table with all their talents and watch out. Is this going to happen really fast? It already is. We're just trying to catch up with it, I believe.
And I believe, too, that their intuition, their inner knowing, knows the truth. So you can't really pull very much over on these kids right from day one. You might have some control over them until they're a certain age because they don't really have a choice. But you can't lie to them.
No, they see right through that. They're very intuitive, very very psychic, very intuitive. And, you know, there's no nonsense
there. Thank God
there.
For that.
Yeah, it's a good thing.
So I just want to just take a moment and invite anyone who would like to call in and talk to Jim or ask him a question about anything at all, whether it's your children or any questions pertaining to consciousness and the vibration that is moving hugely in this world. And you can reach us by dialing toll-free 888-627-6008. Well, Jim, I'm really looking forward to what you've got planned for the future, and I'm really glad that we stay in touch. I know that when you were here in British Columbia, we had some pretty good conversations about how the world was going, and we both share that aspect of knowing that it's going in an incredible positive direction, because inside of us, there's a huge spirit. The problem is we don't maybe take the time to recognize that, to go inside and see really who we are. But that light's starting to turn on brighter and brighter. Don't you agree?
I do agree, yeah. You know, and there's a lot of theory around that,
too. I think we might have lost Jim here for a moment.
Can you hear me?
There's a little bit of EMF. For those of you that don't know, that there's been a lot of solar flares in this last few days. And
right.
Jim was saying that energy that's coming off the sun is affecting a lot of the technology, the telephone lines, and a lot of energy sources. And in fact, if those flares get to a certain level, they do have the potential of blowing the power grid. And knowing that, maybe it's time to ask ourselves, if the power grid went down and all of a sudden there wasn't electricity, are we ready to live in the world, back to nature again, and grow our gardens and help each other and come into communities? All it would take is the lights to go out, and I think in very short order we would be aiming in that direction. So I would prefer to think about how to do that now. And you'll find that if you do take the time to go back to some of the simpler ways that life can actually be, that it's a lot of fun doing that.
Absolutely. You know,
I'm not sure if we've lost
Jim
completely now. I know that the signal was pretty rough there. But I'd like to take this opportunity, as we're in the last few minutes of our show, to just invite you to join us every second week, because I'm going to bring in a lot of wonderful speakers that are on the ground doing things to help us sustain life, to move forward, to not ship around, to go in a positive direction. And this isn't fluff. This is real energy moving through people like Jim Law and David Sarita and a lot of great, great people that are out there doing things every day to move this energy forward and to be, most of all, an example to our children. An example to those gifted children that are coming into our world every single day. There's a difference happening in this world, and we can be aware of it and support it, or we can fight it and not bring anything positive. It's our choice individually, but I want you to know that there are lots of us that are absolutely focused and passionate about bringing life back, honoring the earth, honoring the animals, honoring each other, and certainly honoring our children. So I don't think that we're going to be able to have Jim back. If he happens to come back in the next couple of minutes, it'll be lovely to say goodbye to him. But please join us, if you would, all of you, on Sunday, November 20th at 8 p.m. on bbsradio.com. For another evening of inspired, on-the-ground information from our wonderful guests around the planet. And once again, I'd like to thank the emissaries for their outreach to the world in this way. Every single bit of positive action in this world makes a huge quantum difference to the big picture.
Jeannie, are you there?
Whoever is listening tonight, you make a difference. You make a huge difference. And the next child that you walk by, whether it's your child or someone else's, give them a smile and tell them what a wonderful kid they are. that makes all of the difference. Because those little kids are like brand new computers that we bring home from the store. And we program into them what our beliefs are about this world. And I hope that wherever you are, you're programming into the children that you know and you come in contact with that it's a wonderful world and that there's hope for them, that they're going to walk through their lives and they're going to do wonderful things, gifted things, amazing things that each one of them has as their own unique personality and their own unique gifts. So if you listen tonight and you have any comments that you'd like to share, please feel free to email me at singlei@shaw.ca. That's single, S-I-N-G-L-E, I, which is E-Y-E, two words together, single I, at shaw.ca. And please put BBS on the subject line because I'd really like to know that you were with us. So also I'd like you to remember that if you have an opportunity on Sunday nights, every second Sunday night, if you tune in at 7 o'clock, you'll be able to tune in to the show Hologram, which is hosted by two very dear friends, Cheryl Catherine Smith and Ash Riot, another wonderful show of inspiring information and positive energy. So please join us again, and I look forward to the next time that we can be together. So goodbye for now, and enjoy your creative field.